Today's podcast is brought to you by our Make Gas Cheap Again t-shirt. To order, go to gracecurlyshow.com.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show. Start your engines. It's Mechanic Monday with Grace Curley and Bill Brassard from JB Auto Care.
And man, did I like that 57 Ford Fairlane.
Get your questions in for Bill now. 844-500-4242.
Very nice job, Jared. This is like Starsky and Hutch.
I like that.
You like that, right, yeah. Bill? All right, Bill Brassard from JB Auto is here to take your questions. And there's a lot of questions right now with the car industry, whether it be trying to get your car fixed, trying to buy a new car, trying to sell a used car, what kind of car should you get? We have all the answers for you. And by we, I mean Bill, because I don't know anything about cars. It's 844-500-4242. We're opening up the lines. You can feel free to call in with any question that you have. But as always, I'm going to be a little selfish. I have Bill here. He's an expert. I have a couple of questions.
Let's hear them.
First question is this new phenomenon. And it's not really new. If you were alive in the 1970s, you remember this as well. But this is new for me. And I think it's fairly new for you, Bill, because you're younger.
Yeah.
Thieves are draining gas tanks. Here's how you can protect yours. Now, this is a report here from WTAE.com, and it goes into the siphoning of gas. When I hear that, though, and I see, you know, the videos from the 1970s of people doing this, it's changed a little bit now. They're not stealing gas in the same way. And by they, I mean these criminals are not stealing gas like they used to.
No. So the older cars was basically a straw right to the gas tank. So you could put a hose down there, siphon the gas out. And so to fix that, you'd put a lock and gas cap on.
Right.
But the newer cars have like baffles and doors in the way, so you can't just shove a straw down there and siphon the gas. So what they're doing, they're going under the car and drilling a hole in your gas tank, catching the gas, and then taking off. Very petty for what, $100 of gas.
So that's worse than the first time.
Yeah, it's worse.
Because at least it didn't damage your car.
Because now you're going to damage the gas tank, and that's going to cost you well over $1,000 to repair.
Great. And I'm eating lentils all day. Now I have to pay $1,000 to get my car repaired. This is brutal.
Well, you can mash the lentils. Use it as a paste on the gas tank to cover
good.
Up any holes.
Yeah, maybe you can put the lentils in the hole in the
yeah.
where they drilled.
This is a great creative team here, Jared. I think you have a new gig if you want. Bill from
Lentil
JB
mechanic.
Auto. Bill from JB Auto is here. I see people on the lines. We're going to take your calls in 1 second. It's 844-500-4242. Now, speaking of that, I have another question. And we were joking around during the break. When you hear these politicians, Bill, and you hear them say, you know, if you can't afford things right now, just buy an electric vehicle. Some of them go as far as saying, just get a Tesla. What do you make of that? As someone who's around cars all day, you're seeing the prices right now. You're seeing everyday Americans struggling with this. I'm sure when they come into your shop, people are complaining. What do you make of that kind of solution? Just buy an electric car.
Yeah, well, I'm not a mathematician, but at say gas at $5 a gallon, times 20, so a $100 fill-up is a lot cheaper than a $50,000 electric vehicle that actually, if you go to get one, you have to order it. They don't have them in stock. So that's not a good idea.
You have to order it because of the supply chain crisis,
yes.
Which is really affecting your business. Now, you told me during the break that when people bring in a car to get it fixed, sometimes it's on the lot for a lot longer than it used to be.
Yeah, we're trying to order parts, and they're on like this extended back order that I've never seen before. So sometimes they're on the lot for a month, 2 months, and, you know, it's an uncomfortable conversation. You can't have your car back because I can't get the part.
Yeah. And also, like, maybe you just sell it to me and then you can just take the bus. And, you know, if you worked for Bloomberg, that would be your solution to that problem. All right. I have more questions for you, Bill, but I'm not going to hog you too much here. I'm going to throw it out to the callers. Let's start with Margot. You're first up on the Grace Curley Show, talking to Bill Brassard from JB Auto. What's your question, Margot?
Hi, Grace. Great show again, as usual. Hi, Bill. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I need to get some tires for my car, and I need one, maybe two. Is it better to get two than one? I'm trying to save a little bit of money, but I don't want the car to be totally off balance.
Yeah, so it depends what type of vehicle. If it's an all-wheel drive vehicle, I do recommend getting four. If it's a like a front-wheel drive vehicle or a rear-wheel drive, you want the tires to match, because if you have one tire that's bigger than the other tire, it's going to cause like a pulling condition. And if you have an all-wheel drive car, the wheels are going to go at different speeds if you put like two new tires on and then you have two old tires, and it's going to cause an issue with your transfer case, which controls the four-wheel drive system.
Oh, sorry, Margot. I have a feeling from the sigh we just heard that you don't want to buy more than one, but it looks like that's what you're going to have to do.
How old are the tires on your vehicle?
They're about 4 or 5 years old, and one of them really needs to go, and they said that probably the second one does too. It's a RAV4, so I wasn't, I don't know, is that an all-wheel drive?
Yeah, that is RAV4? Typically an all-wheel drive vehicle.
Sorry, Margot. Sorry to break that to you. Good luck. Make sure you try to offset this by eating a lot of lentils this week. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Lenny. You're next up with Bill Broussard from JB Auto Care. Go ahead, Lenny.
A bit of an interesting question. I have an older car that I absolutely love, a 2008 Toyota Avalon Limited. Now, due to a hospital stay, I was unable to start it for 3.5 months. It ran like a top, looks like new. Now, my question is, I'm unable to get into the car. Even though it has the remote starter and it has that kind of little key that you pull out that you're supposed to be able to put into the car door and turn, that's supposed to open it mechanically as a normal key would, that doesn't work. So I guess perhaps two questions. Is there any way you can think of other than that to get into the car? And is it possible that after the 280,000 miles, just after all this inactivity, that a lot of things would have kind of gone wrong with the car that wouldn't otherwise have gone wrong?
Yeah, you know, typically if they just sit around, the battery will die, but that won't damage anything else. But if you can't get into the vehicle and the key's not working and then the mechanical key's not working, you could have like a locksmith come down and, you know, you can get into the vehicle with like a Slim Jim, unlock the door from the inside, and then you'll be able to, you know, at least get the car jump started and, you know, get what you need done.
Yeah, my family used to have an Avalon and it was a good car.
Yeah, those are great cars.
My brothers just ran it into the ground though, taking really harsh turns with it. You know what I mean? They just wore out the tires. Good luck, Lenny. Let's go to Joe. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show with Bill from JB Auto. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, Bill and Grace. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thank you, Grace, for this segment. I'm very well, thank you, except for you want to talk about wanting to sell your vehicle. I have a Mercedes Metris, and when I press the horn on it, it sounds more like, excuse me, would you be kind enough to please move to the side, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't have a good honk.
No, it has more of a beep. It sounds like me meep.
Are you
like
a big
road runner?
But Joe, are you a big honker?
The reason I called was I'm wondering, do you recommend a different horn?
So did it sound different before that it does now?
No, it's always been a miserable. And the thing is, you know, from what I gather, and please forgive me because I'm not an expert, but from what I gather, the Daimler Town and Countries and the Caravans, do they have the same kind of horn?
Yeah, you know, typically a car will have a what they call a high and a low horn, and so it's two horns, and then the sound blends into the actual sound of the horn. So maybe you have a problem with, you know, maybe one of the horns isn't working, either the high or the low. But you can get different horns. You can get like an aftermarket horn that sounds different than what the factory one would sound like.
Thanks for the call, Joe. I'm curious if he's a big time honker though. Like, I feel like that wouldn't bother me enough to change it unless you were honking all the time.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I honked my horn.
Yeah, I like a honk. I do. I like a beep beep because I like to let people know this is what's happening. Sometimes you'll be behind someone and they're backing out. They don't see you there. You give them a friendly tap tap. But I'm not like a lay on the horn type of person. Sounds like he's, you know, trying to move heaven and earth with his honk.
Yeah, he likes to honk his horn.
Might have a little road rage. Billy, let's go to Billy. You're next up with Bill from JB Auto. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I've got a 2015 Subaru Crosstrek, fully paid for with about 130,000 miles on it. Should I be lining this thing up for a tune-up? I get the oil change religiously. I want this thing to, I'm going to drive this into the ground, so...
Sure. You know, make sure you change all your fluids in the car, you know, the coolant, the brake fluid, the transmission, the differentials. I believe that one might have a timing belt. You know, get that replaced. You know, just spark plugs. You know, other than that, those Subarus are great cars. They go for a long time. We have a lot of customers with Subarus with well over 200,000 on them.
Oh, good news. All right, 844-500-4242. We're coming right back with Bill from JB Auto on Mechanic Monday. You'll get all your questions in. Just get on the line now. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth, your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel. And that helps every aspect of your life, every interaction you have daily. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of life becomes a lot easier. It's a new year, and you have the opportunity to make 2022 the year for a new you. Have you thought about Perfect Smiles for years but never called? Well, now's the time. This is your sign. This year, take care of yourself. You deserve it. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're conveniently located off Route 3. They've got plenty of parking for you. You can reach them at perfectsmiles.com. You can also check out their video testimonials at perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. It's 844-500-4242. Bill from JB Auto. Bill Broussard is going to take all your questions when we come back. Get on the lines now.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to Mechanic Monday with Bill Broussard from JB Auto. We're taking all your calls, all your questions, and we're going to get to the text line in a second. But first, let's go to the callers here. People have been waiting a long time. Tom, you're next up on Mechanic Monday. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Grace, love the show. Hi, Ben. Thanks for taking my call. I'm trying to buy my daughter her first car, and she's done a little research, and she's sort of torn between a Mini Cooper and a Volkswagen. I just know eventually I'm going to have to pay for repairs, and I'm not crazy about European cars in that sense. You know the best way to minimize the damage between those two brands? Which one might be the safer bet?
Yeah, so the Mini Cooper is a BMW-based vehicle, so you're going to spend more on those, and you're probably going to get less reliability out of them. The Volkswagens is the lesser of the two evil on that one. So, you know, can you maybe shift her into an Asian vehicle, or is she stuck on the
I keep Volkswagen. Trying to throw, you know, Hondas or Toyotas, Honda driver myself, but it's just... They've always done me right, but I think that might be the safe move. But if she goes that way, I'll definitely go VW. Thank you.
Yeah, they typically are the cheaper to fix.
Awesome. Thank you, Tom. Good luck with that. Try to convince her, though, you know? Especially if you're going to help her pay for it. You should have some say in what brand she gets. Pete, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show on Mechanic Monday. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah. Hi, Grace. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Very good. I got a 2006 Nissan Frontier. I have two fairly simple questions. My thought is to run this truck because of the higher prices now with inflation and the used car market, a new car market. I'm thinking of running that into the ground eventually and then make my move. What do you think of the newer Frontier, say, from 2019 on up through?
I haven't seen a ton of those, but, you know, the Frontier, all in all, those are, you know, those are great vehicles. You know, and how many miles on the 06?
I've got 157,000 on it, and I've seen people that go 750,000 miles on these trucks, these vehicles. The problem is it's going to be the salt, obviously. And then when the engine fails, it'll be low compression, right?
Yeah, you know, it'll start running rough. That would indicate low compression. But those are pretty good motors, and, you know, as long as you don't have any rust, you know, you could get well over 200,000. You know, I always use the gauge. If, you know, you have to put, say, $2,000 a year into a vehicle, you know, that's going to cost you, what, $170 a month? You know, where can you drive a car for $170, you know, dollars a month?
That's a good way to think of it. Thanks, Pete. Let's go to JP. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show with Bill Broussard. Go ahead, JP.
Hi, Grace. Hi, Bill. I'm calling. I've got a 2002 Toyota Highlander, and I'm having a problem getting mileage. I'm only getting 13 miles a gallon out of it, and what would you suggest? What would you suggest I do?
You know, I'd keep the thing tuned up, make sure your air filter, your spark plugs are replaced. I'm assuming it has a lot of miles on it with that kind of, that age.
Yeah, 208.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the oxygen sensor on those wear out, you know, older, the higher mile vehicles. The oxygen sensors, you know, it meters the exhaust gas in the exhaust, and it tells the computer whether to give it more gas or less gas. So you might, you know, you might want to start there.
Good answer. Thank you, JP. Cheryl, you're next up with Bill Broussard. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi, Grace. I love your show.
Thank you.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Quick question. I have a 2010 Toyota Highlander, again, another Highlander, and it has 212,000 miles. For the last year and a half, I have to replace the headlights less than 3 months apart all the time. And
okay.
They tend to go out at the same time, and in the winter, it was terrible because I'd have to drive home on high definition lights. So, just curious what your thoughts are.
So, you know, I have seen that before in certain, you know, other vehicles, and it ended up being the alternator was overcharging the battery, and it would, you know, pop the headlights because it's sending out too much voltage or amperage. Also, too, just make sure that, you know, there's nothing loose on the front bumper. You know, if the bumper's loose or something loose up front, it can vibrate. You know, that could also damage the bulbs.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. Bill, before we go to the last caller here, we're going to have time for one more. Where can people find you? Where can they find your shop? And where can they call you if they have a question?
Sure. So I'm at 291 Bridge Street in North Weymouth, Massachusetts. And my phone number is 781-331-6068.
All right. Awesome. Let's go to Antonio. You're next up on Mechanic Monday. Go ahead, Antonio.
Hello. Well, love your show, Grace. Listen all the time. I'm calling in to ask, what's your advice for a first-time truck that's affordable? I'm thinking of a Tacoma or a Ranger, sort of one of the smaller trucks, but what's good in price and that's, you know, easy to drive as well?
Good question.
Sure. So, you know, I love the Tacomas, but they are pricey, hard to find. The Rangers are also good vehicles also. So, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with either one. If, you know, they're pretty good on gas because you can get them in the four cylinders. So, you know, I like the Toyotas. They go the distance, but you're going to pay a premium for them.
All right. Thank you, Antonio. The number is 781-331-6068 if you want to reach Bill Broussard. Hey, really quick, do we have time for one more? Let's do a text question, Jared. Throw it out to Bill.
All right. This comes from 571 Bill. Ask Bill, please, how do I prevent catalytic converter theft?
Catalytic converter theft. So I don't know if you could really prevent it other than, you know, parking your car inside, but it's a real common thing now because the price of metal is, you know, they put platinum in there, so they have, you know, people going around stealing catalytic converters. So, you know, parking in a place that's well lit, a garage, you know.
This is good advice.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Bill Broussard from JB Auto. Remember, his number is 781-331-6068. We'll be back. We're going to talk about the history books when we return. Don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
For people who have not been keeping up with Joe Biden's hectic schedule, he's very busy, you know? Those bike rides, those bikes aren't going to ride themselves, as the old expression goes, so we need Joe to ride them, and he's very good at bike riding. What did you expect? I mean, this is the president you elected. When everything is falling apart, you can count on him to be in a mask on a beach somewhere with his dog or riding a bike. And he plans to visit Poland during his four-day trip to Europe. I believe he's going to meet with the Polish president on Saturday. So as always, the urgency kind of... The idea of urgency gets lost when they delay these things by 5, 6, 7 days. But he's going there on Saturday, and this is bad news.
I understand that the U.S. Embassy ice cream machine is broken down and they have to fix it. So he won't be able to be there until Saturday.
You know, I
often... That could be fake news, though.
I often tell that story about Howie with the ice cream machine at McDonald's. It was like we had a really long day because we had to do... I think we were doing an event or something, and I was driving Howie back to Wellesley, and we went to McDonald's, and I had promised him that we were going to get McFlurries, and I think it was kind of like what was getting him through the long day. And then on our way back, we went to McDonald's, and I was expecting this. You know, I lowered my expectations, as you have to do when you go to McDonald's, because oftentimes the ice cream machine is broken. But Howie didn't really know about this phenomenon of the broken ice cream machine, and so when they told him on the speaker, like, sorry, the ice cream machine's broken, would you like something else? All hell broke loose. He was not happy.
You know
happy.
Who I am?
And by all hell broke loose, I mean he was like kind of pouty for the rest of the ride. But can you imagine if you've got Biden in the car and you tell Biden the ice cream machine is broken? It must be a meltdown. LOL. Anyway, though, so Joe Biden is...
Lying dog-faced pony soldier.
He's going to Poland, and he's also going to attend... This is a jam-packed schedule... He's going to attend a European Council summit in the Europa building, and his itinerary also includes an emergency NATO meeting focused on deterrence and defense efforts against Russia. And I'm sure at some point he's going to wander into a cafeteria and, you know, aimlessly walk around. If we know Joe like we do, maybe he'll have a back and forth with Caitlin Collins about Putin. I don't know. These are all things that, you know, you figure out if they're going to happen in the moment. Now, while all that's happening and we have this to look forward to, we also have to keep in mind, we have to be sensitive to the fact that Kamala Harris was on this beat not too long ago. She was on the peacekeeping, peacemaking beat just a few days ago. And for some reason that I can't put my finger on, didn't work out. You know, they decided we're gonna bring her back to the United States and she's going to go on the road. And that was the last I heard, was they were going to, you know, send her cross country basically to talk about things like all the accomplishments of this past year. If you're sitting around going, what accomplishments? Read the Bloomberg piece. She's probably going to talk about lentils and letting your pets die.
Lower your expectations on accomplishments, people.
Yeah. Accomplishments are in the eye of the beholder. Okay. The vice president is here to speak with you. Be grateful. So they're sending Kamala Harris on the road. And I thought this was interesting because she's also not great when she's here. Like, her ability to handle these domestic issues isn't much better than when she's in Poland and she's dodging questions on inflation and looking at the Polish president like, you want to take this one? I'm not really sure what to do here. So last time she was, you know, on the road as far as domestic agenda, I remember a few things. I remember her explaining the internet to people, which I didn't understand why she felt the need to do that. It felt like a book report from like 1995. The second thing, I remember her riding an electric bus. A lot of it had to do with electric vehicles, which call me crazy, but I think talking to people right now about the importance of electric vehicles is irksome. I think people are getting very annoyed by that. But I remember when she was on the electric bus, she did sing "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round." We got a lot of our signature Kamala moments when she was in the United States. We also got a lot of great quotes, though, when she was abroad, when she finally got her trip to Europe. And all of this begs the question today, where in the world is Kamala Harris?
Freedom!
Tell me where in the world is
Kamala Harris.
Tell me where in the world.
tell me why can't you be that smarter?
All right, so like I mentioned, she's a big fan of the internet, that computer machine, and she's explaining it to everyone everywhere she goes. Now she's in Louisiana at an event, and she really gave us a quotable moment here. This is an inspirational quote. A lot of what she says seems like it could be on a sign at Home Goods that you'd hang in your kitchen. It's a lot of like live, laugh, love type things. This one, I think, is very interesting. I think people are going to enjoy this. We kind of think it's one of her best ever. This is your Vice President, Kamala Harris.
And talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
Well, it's just now and then my line gets cast into these time passages.
I have a question, but I'm Vice President. Can I ask you a question? Over here. Okay, thank you. Madam Vice President, the people, the American people have one question right now as the world falls apart, as they shove lentil beans into their mouths, and as they long for the days of owning a Tesla. And their question, of course, it's kind of obvious, their question for you, Kamala Harris, is how do you feel about the passage of time?
And talking about the significance of the passage of time.
More specifically, right? wait, more specifically, do you think the passage of time is significant?
Significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do.
Got it. Thank you. Wow. Wow. It is, you know, they say word salad, but I don't think that really captures it because, I mean, a salad, like there's something there, you know, it's more like word. It's more like hot air. There's nothing you can grab onto.
The Vice President is skipping again. Go get her.
Yeah. So she's back on the road. So we have more moments like that to look forward to. And this actually gets me thinking of something else I wanted to hit. Get ready, Bao. I wanted to talk about a trend I'm noticing that drives me bonkers. And I've talked about it a little bit before, but it's worth revisiting. Last week, we talked about how Jen Psaki was asked about India getting oil from Russia. And we have this flashback, Jared. Let's take a listen to her response.
Also, think about where you want to stand when the history books are written in this moment in time.
This drives me nuts because this woman and this administration, they're just a bunch of, and Tucker Carlson said this, it's like a bunch of sophomores in high school morally posturing and like trying to make you feel bad about things or trying to talk their way out of problems. And they don't understand that a lot of other places aren't as concerned with the history books at the Harvard Library as Jen Psaki is. A lot of people aren't that concerned with the Kennedy Center honors. A lot of these countries want to get ahead. They want to dominate. You know, they want to help the citizens of their country. They're not as worried about, like, what will Ned Price think? Will Jake Sullivan invite me for tea? Tony Blinken won't invite me to listen to his Spotify playlist. Wah, wah. And this thing is so absurd, but they keep running with it. Like, they keep harping on the history books. And listen to her today. We have a cut from her. I think it might have been from Friday, but listen to Jen Psaki yet again with the history books.
During the readout of this call, a senior official said that the president was really sort of laying out his assessment of the situation to President Xi, that he was making clear the implications of certain actions, but that President Biden wasn't making specific requests of China. Why not, and given the stakes here?
Because China has to make a decision for themselves about where they want to stand and how they want the history books to look at them and view their actions. That is a decision for President Xi and the Chinese to make.
Do they not know about what's happening to the Uyghurs? Because I feel like if you knew what was happening to the Uyghurs, you might understand that the history books aren't really China's number one concern. Right? I mean, this is just basic stuff. speaking of the history books, have they ever opened them? Or do they only open like the puff pieces in the Washington Post? Because the history books on China might enlighten you to how much they don't care about the history books.
Yeah, the way China wants the history books to be written about them is they want them to be written in Chinese about in 2022 when they took over America and destroyed the West.
But Jared, it's not.
That's what they want in the history books.
It's not just Jen Psaki. I mean, this is Dick Durbin. Listen to what he said. Cut two.
President Xi has to decide his place in history and China's place in the world. If they are going to be part of Putin and his barbaric conduct in Ukraine, he's going to run the risk of discrediting his own nation.
Am I confused? Like, am I not getting this? Do they really not know what's happening in China? They're going to be shocked when they find out.
Give the New York Times two more years. Yeah. And they'll figure out that Uyghurs exist.
And then you guys are going to be really upset about the Beijing Olympics. You're going to be like, whoa, turns out we shouldn't have had the Olympics there. Turns out that they weren't concerned about the history books at all. I can't get over that they think this is a good talking point. They're going to have to decide what they think about the history books. Nobody cares about the history books in your Ivy League schools and, you know, retweeting all of your Spotify playlists and going to the cocktail parties in D.C. at Christmas time. No one cares about that except for you. And that's why we're in the situation we're in, because you, which is still frightening to me every single day, because you Ivy League know-nothings are running the country. And let me add on something there for the history books in case anyone's writing this down and in case anyone is transcribing this as I go. Running the country into the ground. No one said this would be fun, and boy, were they right. This is not fun.
860, talking about the vice president. Curly, it's not a word salad. It's a word snow globe.
Yes.
And that's very accurate.
It's a word snow globe. It's just, and as we talk about, you know, the Hunter Biden story and potentially ejecting Joe Biden from the White House.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
That's another part of this that Roger Kimball, I'm thinking of the fugitive. Dr. Richard Kimball. That Roger Kimball talks about where he says he gives the example about Richard Nixon, and I want to read you this. He says, back in January, I compared the conundrum that Joe Biden presented to the committee that keeps him in power with the conundrum that Richard Nixon presented to the elites of his day. Nixon was hated by all the beautiful people of his day, but the problem was that his VP, who is in his own way, was nearly as preposterous as Kamala Harris. They had to get rid of him, too. They had to dispose of two elites. Fortunately for the anti-Nixon forces, Nixon's VP was also corrupt and a pedestrian, easy to demonstrate sort of way. Now, Harris is not, and that's a problem for them, because if they want to get rid of Joe, unfortunately, they're left with Kamala, and she is as toxic to the voters as Joe Biden, if not more so, believe it or not, despite the beautiful quotes that she comes up with whenever she's explaining the internet to all of us grateful Americans. It's a pretty amazing thing to watch. 844-500-4242. Now, this one's a little, we were just talking about Hunter Biden there for a second. Can I play a little bit of Mike Baker on Joe Rogan, Jared, before we go? This is cut 13.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody's going to go back and apologize to them.
No one's apologizing.
But
right?
There's a dynamic here that I mean, I love this topic in a sense, not so much because of, you know, whatever the f*** Hunter was up to, but in part because now, when you look at the liberal Dems and the progressives, it doesn't matter to them. If you read some of the narrative that is out there now, the social media in the past day or so, ever since the New York Times came out with this, they're just dismissive of it.
Yeah,
right? And they don't care, or they're willing to overlook it.
Yeah, they're willing to overlook it. But I also think there's a reason that they're coming out with this now, and they might be setting the groundwork. They might be, as Kamala says, laying the wires for something much bigger. 844-500-4242. Really fun first show back. We'll be back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. Carr Crossover comes up next.
You reach out your hand, but you're all alone, and those time passages pass.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is time to talk to Howie Carr, and I want Howie to answer our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Kennedy Carpet. Kennedy Carpet is growing and hiring for many positions, including installers, carpet cleaners, water damage technicians, warehouse, and salespeople. I have Kennedy Carpets installed in my home, and I love them. The people there are so great. They really take care of you. Kennedy Carpet offers full benefits and more. Find out all they have to offer by calling 1-888-KENNEDY. That's 1-888-KENNEDY. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What liberal advice has helped you best deal with Biden's America? Lower expectations, eat lentils, or buy an electric car?
I'm going to say lower expectations. Howard, what say you?
Grace, why? I'm still perplexed that you didn't put on Kill Your Pet.
I didn't want to
say that. That was one of the suggestions from Bloomberg.
Let your pet die was kind of a suggestion. Don't help your pet.
Poor dog, die.
I consider it like doggy death panels.
Die, dog, die.
How?
I thought gas prices were going to be poison for Democrats, but killing your dog, your pet, any pet, is worse, much worse than high gas prices.
But Howie, I'm gonna counter that and say, yeah, we would think that about Democrats, but when Joe Biden told the story about putting the dead dog on the woman's front porch, he got big laughs. That was one of his best bits. So maybe there's some weirdness here where this is what they think the people want.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
You know, I just don't... I don't get the whole thing. Another thing in that tweet that they put out was, nobody said this is going to be fun. That's why all of us voted for Donald Trump, because we knew it wasn't going to be fun. This is not a new bulletin, Grace.
Yeah, you know,
we just didn't know it was going to be this much not fun.
Swapping your ice cream for a bowl of lentils covered in American cheese stuff is not my idea of fun. But I didn't vote for Joe Biden. Howie, I just wanted to add one other thing in. We can be grateful about one thing. And that is that Pearl and Gunnar, God rest their puppy souls, were not around to hear this news. Because they would have been frightened, Howie.
They might have been frightened. But, you know, the thing is that as they grew older, they got deaf. And they tended to get blind. But, you know, the thunder and lightning that used to bother them, Grace, didn't bother them at all in their final years.
So
they couldn't see or hear it.
If you were yelling at them saying, this isn't supposed to be fun, they wouldn't have heard you. All right, everyone. Howie Carr has a great show coming up next. I'll be back tomorrow.